How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You are listening to Day 32 of Preparation for Resurrection. Our title today is Blinded to the Light. Matt Carter and Josh Redberg said, "If you think you can't see on your own, you can't." Our text today is John 9, verses 26 through 41. They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." As the discussion continues between the healed man and the Pharisees, things get heated. The man who had received his sight keeps giving the Pharisees the same answer, but they remain blinded to the truth because they chose not to believe. When the Pharisees are questioned if they want to become Jesus' disciples, they pass beyond the point of rebuke by reviling him. John Phillips describes reviled as follows: "To rail or revile is the answer of those who have been defeated in debate. They cannot support their position, so they resort to abuse. They reviled not only the man, but they also reviled the master." The Pharisees had chosen to remain in the past as disciples of Moses, but they wouldn't trust in the one Moses had foreshadowed and become disciples of Jesus. As the debate continued, the healed man gained additional spiritual insight as he encountered the Pharisees' doubts. The once blind man sees what occurred as an amazing thing. What is also amazing is the blindness of those who had all the proper knowledge, but no trust in a relationship with Jesus. This man, who just met Jesus, has greater confidence and a closer relationship with Christ than all the Pharisees who refused to believe. It begs the question, who is blind and who can see? Matt Carter and Josh Redberg illustrate a significant requirement for receiving spiritual sight. Imagine if the story began this way: Jesus and his disciples meet a man born blind. Jesus promises to heal the man's eyes. He makes little mud packs, places them all in the man's eyes, and tells him to wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. A couple of hours later, a friend of the blind man walks by and sees him begging in his normal spot, but his eyes are caked with mud. "What's going on?" his friend asks. "Not much. What's up with you?" "Nothing. What's all over your eyes?" "It's mud. Some guy came by and put this mud on my eyes and said it would help me see. I let him do it, but it didn't make sense. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me." Could it be possible for a man who was born blind to assume he was fine? Only someone who realized he was blind would long for sight. Only the one who understands his condition will allow Jesus to fill his eyes with mud and then go through town looking ridiculous in the hopes of healing. Only when a person understands his spiritual blindness will he turn to Jesus for healing. We are blind, and once we realize that, we can come to Jesus to receive sight. Those who think they see are blind in their own blindness and will remain that way. They reject the light because they live in and love the darkness. One of the great promises God made to his people was that he would send a Savior to help those who were desperate, a promise that would be fulfilled by Jesus. God's people were in the darkness of sin and unbelief, and the Messiah came to bring them light. But the religious leaders missed him because they could not perceive their own blindness. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "It's not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It's not our weakness that hinders Christ, it's our strength. It's not our darkness that hinders Christ. It's our supposed light that holds back his hand." If we want more of Christ, we must now recognize a growing need for him. Those who drink the most are the ones who feel thirstiest. Those who eat the most are the ones who feel hungriest. Those who see and enjoy and experience the most are the ones who flee the darkness and run to the light. Now consider these questions today. What spiritual condition were you in when Jesus found you? How did Christ heal your spiritual blindness? In what ways are you aware of your continual need for Jesus? Is there anything in your life that might blind you to this awareness? If so, what is it? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.